Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I asked them to sing that song this morning because it kind of goes along with the message here. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read in verses 3 and 4. All right, now we've been talking for about 3 weeks out of Hebrews about how that God has spoken by His Son, not by angels, not by prophets. He did all that in the past, but now He's spoken to us by His Son. And then it says this, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and then was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will." All right. Now, let's pray. Father, we thank You for, Lord, the good Word of God. And thank You for the good songs that we can sing that were inspired in somebody's heart by Your blessings, by their answered prayers, by Your working in their life, by speaking to their heart through Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You would bless the Word of God to our heart this morning. Help us, Lord, to draw a little closer to You. Help us to understand a little better this morning about how this whole thing is. And help us, Lord, in these dark days to be the lights that shine in this dark place. Help us, Lord, I pray. It's our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm just going to focus on that last part of the verse there where it says, "And was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness." How do you confirm something? Well, if I say something and you say amen, you're confirming it with your words. You're voicing your agreement, your like-mindedness with it. It means to say amen. It means to fix it more firmly or settle or establish something. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, that's how a thing is established. That's how a truth is established, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. To testify and prove that what God says is true. Now that is to confirm. What do you think these people did that heard Jesus, that walked with Him? He's talking about the disciples and the apostles and the people in the multitudes that heard Him. They confirmed what He said later to other people who didn't hear Him say it, who didn't see Him. And so that's the whole thing I want to talk about this morning, is how we do that. Those who have heard and received the Word of God are bound to confirm it. All who have believed the gospel have had somebody confirm it to them before they believe. Now, you know, we've all been in church for years, most of us here, and we've been around the kind of churches that really push soul winning and witnessing. Well, we ought to be a witness. Yeah, it's our bound duty to confirm that this book is true. But how do we do it? Just say so? Do people believe? I mean, Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report?" Almost nobody will believe what you say with your mouth, because of the hypocrisy and this wicked world. All men are liars. That's just about how it really is. And so nobody believes anything. It takes more than just words to confirm something, to convince other people that it's true. It does with you, don't it? Yeah. Unless you see it on Facebook, it's got to be true. With most people, if they say it in the news media, it's true. If they see it on TV, I saw it on TV. But that's just the foolishness of men. How is the gospel confirmed by people to other people? Why do you believe it this morning? And think about it. Who in this world had a part in making you believe it? And what was it about them that made you believe it? That inclined you that way? That made you stop in your rebellion and your unbelief and in your skepticism about everything and everybody, what made you stop? It was something in somebody that you saw that had that effect on you. You better thank God this morning that somebody confirmed the gospel to you. It's not by displaying our deep convictions. You know, that's a proud thing that's been in the independent Baptist churches all through the years. I've encountered that more than anything else is, you know, just having deep convictions. Well, I have deep convictions, but my deep convictions are not going to confirm what Jesus said to anybody. It's not by displaying our deep convictions. It's other religions have deep convictions too.
Yes, sir.
And they're founded on falsehood and imagination. Mm-hmm. Muslims believe, I guess, what they say they believe. Does that persuade you to believe it? What does it do? It makes you not believe it.
Yes,
more. That's the way it works with Christianity that's off base.
Yeah.
Off the bubble. That ain't focused right. It has the same effect. People despise religion. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it's not by our vast knowledge of the Bible that we confirm the gospel's truth to other people. Because there's a lot of people who are very well versed in the Bible, but who are ignorant of true salvation, such as the scribes and the Pharisees. They knew the book. The devil knows the scriptures. He uses them. He knows them well enough to twist them and wrest them and fool you. Lots of people know the scriptures, but they don't know the God of the scriptures.
That's right.
So our knowledge of the Bible and our ability to quote all chapters and everything, now that's a good thing for us, but that doesn't impress people. It does not make people believe the gospel. Oh, he couldn't do that if it wasn't for some supernatural power. That's not true. People can do all kinds of things. It's not by our zeal that we convince other people. Other people are zealous about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with God. You ever see people get excited at a ball game or something like that? They go bananas. People get zealous about causes, whatever their interest is, their hobby is. I mean, people just go bananas about it. That don't convince anybody of anything. Just our zeal about our religion is not enough to confirm the truth to another person's soul.
That's right.
Won't work. It's ineffective. It's not by our faithfulness. And these are the things that are always pressed upon us in church all my life. It's all I've heard. You need to get it. Have some enthusiasm. You need to have some zeal. You need to have all these things that I'm mentioning here. This is how you win people to the Lord. No, it's not. It's not by our faithfulness or our perseverance. I believe a true believer perseveres. I believe he don't quit. I believe he's faithful. I believe he's faithful to the end. That's what I believe. But I don't believe that's what convinces other people that what you got's real. And the reason is because there's a lot of false religions that are relentlessly faithful until the end. It's November here. When we live in Mexico, December the 12th, it's the Virgin of Guadalupe. It's the pilgrimage to the Virgin of Guadalupe. They'll crawl on their knees from all over the country to that false idol. And they'll bleed and they'll do all kinds of things to buffet themselves and suffer because, buddy, they believe. I mean, they'll do it no matter what. I've told you before about talking to, like, old grandma down there that lived across the street from a sweet old lady, do anything in the world for us. The best neighbor you could hope for. But I mean Catholic. And I sat down with the Bible and showed her different scriptures and asked her, now, is that what your priest says? And she said, no. I said, well, you see that it's written here. So you know that he's not telling you the truth. Yeah. I said, well, why don't you leave that church? It's wrong. You know it's wrong. She said, but you don't understand. I'm a Catholic. My mama was a Catholic. My grandma was a Catholic. All my people are Catholics. So I'm a Catholic. This doesn't matter. How's that for faithfulness? How's that for steadfastness? Did that convince me to be a Catholic? Of course not. And so you can go to people and say, now this is what I believe. And they'll just say, so what? Right. Don't impress me what you believe. Everybody believes something. Yes. I'm just saying to you that not even martyrdom. Even by martyrdom, we don't confirm the gospel is true. Mm-hmm. People of pagan and other false religions, they'll die for their belief in it. How many of these Muslims have died in the last several years here even? I mean, all through the centuries, but here in the last few years, they'll die for it. They believe it, and they're willing to die for it. And even your Bible tells you that you can give your body to be burned and not have charity, and it avails you nothing. So it's not a way to convince them that the gospel's true. We've thought that for years, haven't we? We read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and we read The Martyr's Mirror, that's the other one, and read all those stories, and boy, it is something. But it speaks to our heart if we already believe, but I don't think it speaks too much to the heart of those who don't, because they just kept burning them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure did. You read cases once in a while of where God spoke to their heart and somebody was saved who was there, like Paul was watching when they stoned Stephen. Yes, sir, but Paul, God was already ringing Paul's bell.
Yes.
Saul of Tarsus. Yes. Many will be so committed to earthly causes even that they'll lay down their life for them, politics and just junk, earthly, worldly, carnal, temporal causes. People will die for it.
That's right.
So that's no way. That's just not how we're going to do it. So what are you getting at? Well, you'll see. The gospel of Christ is about the forgiveness of sins and the reconciling of sinners to God, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what the gospel is? Yes, it is. The gospel is not about religion. The gospel is about forgiveness of sin and the reconciling a sinner to God. It's about the death and resurrection, not only of Christ himself, but of everyone who is born of the Spirit by believing in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. That's what the gospel is, and that's what we're to confirm. We're to confirm that this is a fact. This is not our beliefs. This is not our convictions. This is not, you know, just some religion that we've picked up or club that we've joined.
Right.
We're not convincing them that we're right. We're convincing them that this is right.
Amen.
Yes.
We insert ourselves in the middle and we make void everything. And we do no good. And we're grounded. The church is grounded. We're grounded. Sinners are lost and they die in their sin. It's about a new birth. It's about a new man. Yes. That's what the gospel is about.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make it any other way if you believe the Bible. It's not about adding to your life a new man, while you got the old man, and you just go on living that same old sinful life, and you're the same old person, but you just now you're going to go to heaven when you die.
Mm.
Like Gary was talking in Sunday school about the preacher that taught them that you just get saved, and now you've got a free ticket out of hell. He would call it that. And now you're going to heaven. He said you can burn your Bible, you can quit church, you can throw away all your suits, and never come to church again. You're going to heaven. You're just not doing the will of God for your life. It's heresy,
yes,
of the worst sort.
Yes,
you're not going to convince anybody that the gospel is true. You're not confirming the gospel unless you're a new creature.
Right.
Old things passed away, all things become new. That's what the gospel is about. You're all totally off the mark. You ain't even tuned in to nowhere near the right station. You ain't getting the same signals. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now that is a big statement for a Jew to make.
Yeah, that's right.
Circumcision ain't nothing. Neither is uncircumcision. What matters is a new creature in Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 was, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. So nothing we say or nothing we do will confirm that the gospel is true in the minds of others, except we truly have victory over sin in our life.
That's right.
There he goes again. Yes, sir.
That's right.
I mean, it's right on target, right on the mark. You're not... Who believes the testimony of somebody who says they got saved, but they continue in habitual, continual sin? You know a guy that couldn't... I mean, these are just typical sins. This is not what you'll see in a minute. This is not what I'm going to talk about. But a guy that can't put the bottle down, and he gets saved. And then the next day, you see him with the bottle again. Now, do you believe that he's really a new creature?
No.
No. No, sir. You don't. Nobody does. Except a fool. Or a deceived heart.
That's right.
It isn't our steadfastness in service that confirms the gospel. Like we've been taught all of our life. You know, that what really matters is your faithfulness and your giving and your service in church and all of that. That's what makes other people believe you really got something. That's not it. You ought to be faithful in church. I believe you will be. If you're really a new creature, you're going to want to be there. And you're going to seek those things. But it isn't our steadfastness in service that confirms the gospel. That's not how these people confirmed the gospel. The ones who heard Jesus say and teach what he taught. The ones who watched him die. The ones who saw him rise up from the dead. They didn't convince everybody and confirm it with that. How did they all... What did their life amount to after that? How did they confirm it? By living it with everything they had.
Yep.
We see a different Simon Peter.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
You see a different James and John also.
Mm-hmm.
After the resurrection, it was a different ball game. You see a different Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His life was different. All the doubting, all the questions... All the wobbling and wavering, all that stuff was gone. And you don't see him cursing and denying the Lord. You don't see him veering off course anymore. Our steadfastness in our steady victory over sin, that's what confirms the gospel. Now, are you still listening to me? It's not really the victory over the few outward common carnal sins that confirm the gospel either. Listen. Just because you quit smoking or quit drinking or quit cussing or quit being immoral and fornicating, if you quit all of that, that don't mean you've got victory over sin.
That's right.
You know, Alcoholics Anonymous and other support groups, they can boast of people who've quit the bottle for decades. They've quit dope and they've quit gluttony and all these different groups, you know. I've known people that even without that help, quit. They just laid it down and said, I'm done with it. You can do that. You can do it without God. Obviously. So that victory over those sins is not the convincing evidence that the gospel's true.
That's right.
You don't realize, I don't think, most people don't, how deep in skepticism and doubt most everybody is in the world. Looking at the church, looking at people who say they're Christians, they've always got something they can point to and say, eh.
Oh, you're right.
If it's these things. So they didn't do it without God's help, not as a result of believing the gospel. The real victory over sin is in the inner man and his view and opinion of God and other men. All right, that's it right there. That's the message here this morning. Real victory over sin is when you're a different person concerning God and concerning other people. Matthew 3:10 says, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John the Baptist said that. He's preaching a forgiveness of sin. I mean the repentance of sin. And John the Baptist said this. He's the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one This, as Jesus told his disciples, if you can receive it, this is Elias right here. This is Elijah, John the Baptist. He came before the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. And what did he say? Well, he said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. We're done with all this, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt not, thou shalt. This here, the coming of the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world is going to the very root of this whole deal. He's going to, believing in Christ, and what he is going to do is going to take care of the root of all this sin problem. That's in the heart of man and the mind of man. That's corrupted and what's the word I'm looking for? Depraved by his sin. What confirms the gospel in unbelievers, and this is what it is when they see a person really changed from a hateful person. And I'm getting on tonight's message a little bit, but in Titus chapter 2, he talks about we ourselves were also sometimes hateful and hating one another. That's the way it is with a sinner. That's the way it is with a person without God. Everybody's their enemy. Everybody's no good. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody's going to do something to me. Can't trust nobody. Yeah, I mean, you got to do unto others before they do unto you. That's their motto. It really, really is. I see it in a lot of people who claim to be Christians. They don't have it. I can tell you right now. It's the mark. If you've not been changed on the inside, what is the great mark of being a Christian? Love. I mean, what about 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Without charity. I mean, it is the absolute, utmost, most important character and mark of a Christian. Somebody's really been born again of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First thing. First thing to notice about a changed soul. A born again soul. Born of the Spirit. It's love instead of hate. Love instead of hate. What confirms the gospel in unbelievers is when they see a person really changed. From a hateful person who constantly views others as his enemies and can't stop thinking and speaking evil of them, changes him to a person who consistently loves his neighbor and who always holds forth hope for him. Mm-hmm. Believe that's right?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
I believe that's true.
Yes, sir.
And I believe it really separates the sheep from the goats. And I believe it's really what's going to be the telltale thing in the end of this. Galatians chapter 4 and 5 and verse 14. Galatians 5, 14. Listen, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. How many of you know what it says? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of it. When Jesus separates the goats on one side and the sheep on the other, and then he passes judgment. We mentioned this several times lately. But what's he talking about? He says, I was hungry and you fed me not. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was in prison and you visited me not. I was sick. You didn't do anything. See? If you love your neighbor, what do? And see, to the other side, he said, for I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And they said, when did we ever do that? I mean, it was just such a part of their nature and character, they didn't even count it. They wasn't keeping score. They wasn't keeping records. They wasn't trying to impress God or anybody else. They just loved people and cared for people. And they did good, like Jesus did. They wished others well. Not evil. They thought well of others. Not evil of others. Even if they were in prison, they went and visited them. And saying, you ain't worth living. He needs killing. Somebody ought to put him on an island. They just need to be put on an island and drop a nuclear bomb on him. That don't come from a regenerated heart and mind. And it certainly don't confirm the gospel. The mockers have plenty of ammunition to mock, don't they? Because there's plenty of people who sit in churches, in Baptist churches, who have that spirit of hatred and all for everybody else. You need to keep that in mind in these days with all this junk going on in our country. Yes. We look at the evil and then we start hating people.
Yes.
And man, they're all our enemies. We ought to be of another world. We ought to be of another citizenship completely. What in the world? What are we supposed to do? What does God command us to do about all that stuff? Fight? Show me. And we're to pray. Yeah, and fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust God.
Right.
And I know that seems like a cop-out to carnal people who ain't really got it. They say, there it goes again. That's what everybody's saying. God's got this. God's got this. Well, what are you mocking that for?
Exactly.
You don't believe God's got it, huh? You believe you got it. And you got to do something about it. No? Jesus said, you are not of this world. I've called you out of the world. We're not going to confirm the gospel by taking any stands and fighting and all that. We were talking just a while ago in Sunday school about having our minds corrupted through all this social media and all this stuff and getting all of our information through that corrupt source. I'm talking about the same thing. Religion is despised and despicable in the sight of most people. Religion. They discount it all. You know, from the world's view, Catholics are what Christians are. That's really the fact.
Yes, it is.
And we are just numbskull cults. That's what we are to them. Superstitious fanatics. That's what they think of us. Yep. People hate religion. They despise it. It's nothing new to this generation. It has pretty much always been that way. Pilate said to Jesus himself, what is truth? Oh my. Have you ever just sat and pondered that little conversation right there? Pilate saying to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. He said, what is truth? In other words, you don't know the truth, and I don't know the truth. There ain't no truth. Nobody knows. There's nothing new. It's always been that way. Here's what it is. And I know we've been kind of on this subject, and I ain't done with it yet. So just have to bear with me. But there are superstitious people, and there are purely carnal people. Those are the reigning influences in their lives. There's people that just, you know, just, boy, they're just superstitious about everything. And other people couldn't care less about all that nonsense. They just want another beer. And, you know, they don't care. They don't believe none of it. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in nothing. Then there's people that believe in everything. Supernatural. And they're always looking for proof of these things they want to believe so bad. And swear they do. These people who jump around churches and different denominations and cults, they're superstitious. They're not Christians. Superstitious people embrace religion of many sorts and of just about any sort. You can all sit here right now. You can think of people you know that fit that description completely. And I've known a number of families through all of the last 30 years or more who fit that to a T. They're just from one thing to another, from one creed to another creed. They're just jump all around. And they'll pick up something from every place they stop and add it to their own little body of religion they've built up. They're fascinated with the supernatural and they're always looking for signs and miracles and physical earthly happenings to confirm their superstitious longings. And the reason I'm dealing with this is because God bore them witness also. God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles. And But people are fascinated with supernatural things, and that's what we talked about when we preached on it here a while back. The superstitious person is always looking for some physical manifestation of some supernatural thing to prove it. People who are claim to be Christians, but they're superstitious, really? The difference is they're always looking for a sign. You mentioned it in Sunday school, Gary. It's funny how God always puts everything together like this. But people looking for a sign. Jesus said, this sinful and adulterous generation looketh for a sign. No sign will be given. Herod said, show me a miracle. Jesus wouldn't even answer him. God don't respond to that. So God's not going to do signs and wonders like superstitious witches and stuff to impress people to believe in him. You got a bad misunderstanding about these signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, as he will, the verse says. We'll read it again in here in a minute, but by his own will. To the unbeliever, all that is foolishness. And it ought to be foolishness to those who profess to believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. It's talking about speaking in tongues. And the church there at Corinth was really messed up with that error, like so many are in our day. And he said this, he said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues. I mean, you think it's the proof, and it's the evidence of the Holy Ghost, and you think all these things. And I mean, if you had the perfect situation where everybody in church spoke in tongues, and that proved that everybody had the Holy Ghost, surely then somebody coming in would say, wow, this is the perfect church. No, that's not what the verse says. He said, if you all could speak with tongues and are come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? They're going to say, this is a bunch of crazy people right here. Yeah. It don't impress them at all. So the signs and wonders with which God bears witness to those who confirm the gospel are not designed to impress the superstitious or the religious people. Y'all, I hope y'all ain't left me, and I hope you're following along with what I'm trying to get across to you here this morning. Neither are the signs and wonders God gives after the manner of superstitious or the occult. These signs and wonders and divers miracles, they're not what you see on the Benny Hinn show.
No.
It wasn't that way with the disciples either.
That's right.
You read your Bible and it's and you've heard so much and you've lived all these years with all this crazy mess going on, and you have a hard time discerning the difference. You've heard them, and you've heard them say it, and you know people that go to them churches, and you've heard this rhetoric of theirs for so long. And then you read your Bible, and you read about what happened, and you say, well, boy, that sure looks like what they're talking about. No, no, no. Now, God's signs and wonders are always connected to righteousness and love and mercy. We've been reading in the Gospels. Jesus went into the temple. There's a lame man on the Sabbath day. A withered hand is what it was. And here they're all watching him. How did they know that Jesus would do good? And yet they wouldn't believe in him. Here's a man with a withered hand. And they knew that Jesus wasn't going to just turn and walk away from him. He never did that. If anybody needed help, they got help. If anybody was dead, they got brought back to life. If Jesus was in the presence there. A blind man. Two blind men. Leper. It didn't matter what. Nobody left without him fixing the problem. And so they're here in the temple, a man with a withered hand, and they and they're watching him because they know he's going to do it. And it's the Sabbath day. Why would Jesus do that? Well, he looked at that young man who had just came to him and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him, sell everything you got and come and give it to the poor and come follow me. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That's what the Bible says. Everything he did was because he cared. Every miracle he performed, every miracle God has ever performed, is because he loves people.
Yeah.
Now, witches don't do that, and all superstitious people don't do that. They don't do it because they love people. Herod wasn't looking for a sign, and a sinful and adulterous generation don't look for a sign because they love people and want them to know the Lord. No, they just want to be fascinated, and they want their superstitious soul thrilled and fascinated, and it's an itch they got that needs to be scratched. And that's all it is. They don't confirm the gospel. Does it confirm the gospel, these healers and all these that put on these shows and everything? How many people believe the gospel of the grace of God, that Jesus forgives you of your sin, takes away your sin, makes you a new creature, and old things pass away? How many people believe that because they watch these nutcases on TV and everywhere else and in churches all over the land talking that nonsense? That it does not confirm the gospel. That's not how you do it. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. Here that we read this, but it says, God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Signs. What does that mean? Well, signs. Signs of his gracious presence with them. And his power working through them. They're not confused. Here's a sign for you. How do you know somebody's saved? What's some evidence of it? Besides what they say with their mouth. Besides that they quit drinking. Or they quit smoking. Or they quit doping. Or they quit being unfaithful to their spouse. What? What's some signs? Well, they're not confused and unstable and changeable anymore. That's a pretty good sign right there.
Yeah.
When he settles, establishes, and strengthens you, that's something you don't find out in this crazy world where they're all screaming and hollering and they're all confused and they don't know what's going to happen. They're all afraid and scared to death of the things coming to pass. And always, when you're lost and without God and in the darkness, you're always stumbling. You're always making bad moves. You're always making bad choices and bad mistakes. You're always getting fooled and lied to. It's a pretty good sign when somebody gets stabilized and their ship stops rocking and tossing and they start sailing steady. When their light stops, there's no flickering and explosions and sparkles, and it's just a steady shine out of their life. And you watch them. And you watch them for years and years. I remember when I first got saved, Dad told me, he said, you'll be over it in about 3 months, and you'll be back to your old self. And, well, that didn't happen. He didn't get saved in 4 months either. 10 years later. But it's just one of those things. He don't give you a spirit of fear or anything like that. He gives you a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. Start thinking right.
Yes.
You got some sense. That's a sign.
Yes, sir.
What? I mean, it ain't a sign you hold up. It ain't a sandwich sign you wear on the street. It ain't nothing like that. It's what people looking at you see in your life. Not just things you do. It's a thing they see in about your whole character, your personality, your direction, your mind, your heart, your thing. Everything about you's changed on the inside, and they see it. They've found truth, and they're not looking for something else. It's a pretty good sign. When somebody settles, they quit jumping around. They quit finding new things. They quit believing new stuff. They quit changing their mind about everything. I am not looking for something new. I just want to know more about what I already know.
Yes.
I found the truth.
Yes, amen.
I'm not looking for it. I'm settled. I know what's right. I know what's true. And I know it from because this book right here. And I'm not just using that as a cliche. I know what's in this book. And I've read it and read it and read it and read it. And I'm not looking for another book to give me light on this book. I'm not looking for some other person somewhere to explain it to me. Pity the people who always are. They're not confirming the gospel. Wonders, signs, and wonders. Wonders, works. That means works that are beyond the power of nature and out of the course of nature. Well, anybody that's really been born again will tell you that they have seen wonders. They've seen God do wonders. I've seen God do wonders. He didn't do it to convince others that I'm real. Y'all stand with me here.
Yes.
How can I explain it here? The new creature does not think or behave according to the common understanding of the nature of a man or a woman. See, well, I was told, too, that I had been brainwashed. Anybody ever tell you that since you've been saved? Been brainwashed. Well, why would they say that? Because you quit thinking like him.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonder right there. You know how hard it is to change somebody's way of thinking? You know how hard it is to change your own way of thinking?
Yes.
Did I change my way of thinking or did God change my way of thinking? Well, time tells that truth. You know, we find that out over a period of time. Divers miracles are mighty works, which is, that's an almighty agency appeared, you know, beyond all reasonable doubt. Divers miracles. A miracle is something that happens outside of, you know, our understanding and knowledge of the physical laws of nature. Yeah. Has anything like it ever happened to you? Well, if you're saved this morning, it has. That alone. It's obvious in their life that there is a power working beyond normal human abilities and resources. We're talking about how we confirm the gospel. How do we have any part in convincing other people that it's true? I'm telling you right here. A real believer survives everything. People looking on are amazed. How can they deal with this? How did they survive such a tragedy in their life? How did they go on? How can they have joy and go on with life after that happened to them? That's a miracle.
Yeah.
To them, they're looking on. And it really is a miracle. Without God and without hope in this world, everything gets you down. I mean, everything causes you to just despair. But with God, if God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yeah. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So, I'm a winner every way. People looking on see that. They won't buy it the first just one time. But when they see a continual, steady walk. You ever have anybody tell you or say something to you along those lines? How much effect has your life and mine really had in convincing other people that the gospel is true? How much have I confirmed the gospel? Well, you can preach for 40 years. You can do this. You can do that. But I mean, all of that really don't avail much. What are people looking for? They're looking for that that's on the inside of a person. They're looking for that new creature, that new man that loves like God does. That new man who's got the mind of Christ. We do not confirm it when we show that old, same old nature of suspicion and hatred and offense at everything and fighting to defend ourselves. I pity the people I know that they're like that. Their life is like that. They just live in darkness and bitterness and everything. Everybody's against them and everything it's said, it's aimed at them and they're just, They survive everything that's thrown at them while normal people would despair and be destroyed. Real miracles are things that are beyond the power of man to accomplish alone. It ain't no miracle if I put my hand to it. The greatest miracle that has ever been is that God can change a sinner into a saint of God and then leave him in this cesspool of sin as a witness of his power until it's time for him to take him home. That's a miracle right there. That is a real miracle. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is full of signs and wonders that confirm the gospel is the truth. Galatians 5, 19 through 24. Let me read this and we'll close her down here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I read that way too fast. There's an awful lot in there. But the fruit of the Spirit is just totally the opposite. Love, joy, peace. Not strife and wrath and malice and hatred. That's what you are before. After you're born again of the Spirit of God, then this is the way you are. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So, that's about as plain as you can get it, ain't it? I didn't have to modify it or anything. I just read it to you right out of the Word of God. Well, our life is confirming the gospel or it's denying it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first was spoken to us by the Lord? And then it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness also through all of these things. What are these miracles? What are these signs? What are these wonders? It's what God, it's the new you. That's what the wonder is. That's what the miracle is. That's what the sign is. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for us to come out and smack people on the head and say, healed! I don't... Duh. They're looking for that new man. Everything about our life, it's our attitude, our conversation, says it's true or says it's not true. The words that pour from our lips, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, confirm the gospel or deny the gospel. Our walk, our conduct, the way we treat others, when it'll cost us to do what's right. That's what confirms the gospel. You're supposed to keep your word, even if it's to your own hurt. How do people know God's in you if there's a crook in you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a froward, that means crooked mouth. If you have a froward heart, a froward mind, if there's any crookedness in you, how in the world can people think God is in you of a truth? Nope. No, they believe God's in you of a truth when they see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, continually, convincingly, that it's real and not put on. How do you know that? Well, you got to watch them a while. You can't just go up to somebody and say, listen here, you know, if you died and died, if you'd go to heaven, well, let me tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4, now bow and pray. I had a guy one time, and he wrestled a guy down on the floor off of his couch. Because he done did that, and the guy said, no, not tonight. And he said, now look, I've had 6 in a row, and you're number 7, and you're not going to break my record. And he got him by the head and drug him down in the floor, forced him to pray. You reckon we ever saw him at church?
No.
No, we didn't. He died and went to hell.
Yep.
Our attitude toward others, toward life, toward God, and what it's based upon. Our affections, the things that we truly care about, are they basically selfish or are they benevolent? Reflecting God's presence in our life and His control over our spirit. If He's Lord of our life, if our heart is His throne, like we sang about earlier, then they'll be able to see God in us. It's Christ in you is the hope of glory. I mean, there's people seeing Him in us. And it's not just religion. It's not just being baptized. It's not just our Christian habits. And it's not just quitting a few sins. It's that inside transformation,
yep,
of an old rotten, hateful sinner,
yes, sir,
into a new creature that's like, made in the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And who is continually being made more and formed into that image until we reach the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's the goal, see? So that we be a good witness. So that our names will be put down with Peter and James and John and Paul and all the rest of them. And Stephen, who confirmed the gospel. I sure want it to be, I want to hear it in heaven that my life confirmed it and didn't deny it. I want to know that somebody believed because of what they saw in me. And I don't want to hear that anybody rejected God because of what they saw in me. My religion, my steadfastness, my deep convictions. I don't want that to be the cause of somebody going to hell. I just want them to know that this book is true. Salvation is real, and the gospel is true. And that's what the gospel is about, making men into new creatures. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Please bless it to our hearts now. Help us, Lord, in this matter, that we take it to heart. And Lord, that we're more conscious of how we're received, perceived by other people. And Lord, if we just live and give our all to Thee and honestly seek to be like You, I believe that would be what the key to the whole thing is. Help us, Lord, to get like we talked in Sunday school there, get our information from the pure source. Help us to think on things that are true and just and pure and right, and turn off all this flow of the sewer of this world into our minds and hearts. Help us, Father, I pray. Bless these children and all of us, and give us wisdom and help in these days in Jesus' name. Amen.